from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 12. Barnabas and Saul sent off. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole of island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
I find this time of the year in the church is rather strange. We've had the wonderful celebrations of Easter. All the remembrance of the Last Supper, the sadness of Good Friday, and the joy of Easter Sunday. And in it, we draw people into the church. Lots of the churches have greater congregations during that period, even for some of the early Easter services. And then everything falls flat. And then suddenly, it'll be Pentecost. It's a wonderful sight the other night to see on the notices that we're having a special Pentecost service here on Sunday, June something, well, the 8th, I think it is. Something like that. I'm trying to remember. No, it might be the 8th. 10th? 9th? Anyway, it's in June. But what happens between? If we look at most of the religions of the world, when they have a major celebration, they have a festival. A whole time of celebration and rejoicing, parties. The Jewish Passover, and I've been looking at it for the last few weeks for the study group, it lasts a whole week. It's not just one meal. They have the meal of the actual Passover with the celebration of the Lamb, and then they have two Sabbaths that week. It depends on which day of the week the Passover falls on. And they celebrate it for a whole week. We look at the Muslim faith, just coming up in the near future, is the whole month of Ramadan, a whole month of festival. They don't eat during the day, but they eat outside the hours of darkness, in the hours of darkness, but they celebrate their festivals for a month. But what do? A couple of days at the most. We look at Christmas. We celebrate Christmas with a Christmas Eve services, Christmas Day, and then it's gone. What happens with Pentecost? Where are we slipping up? In actual fact, between last Sunday, when I was at Ashley taking this service, and this Sunday, I found something on the net. I didn't know about it. How many of you know about the Pentecost Festival that's being organised by the church worldwide? It's blank, isn't it? I found it on the back page of something. Last year, the Archbishop of Canterbury launched with all the Christian denominations in the world a new festival, a new mission. How is it working? Well, some of it is church services, much more church services, and advertised that it's on. Others are street parties. Others are of 2 weeks of celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. A start of mission. A start of reaching out to the people outside of the church to come to them. Cafes are holding celebrations. I heard this morning on the radio that one of our churches, our Anglican churches in our county, is held a service this morning in a motorway service cafe. Well, not quite motorway. The A5 service cafe at Montford Bridge. To take the word out to the people. Isn't it an opportunity between Easter and Pentecost for churches to go out? As Barbara says to us many times, I wish the windows were plain glass. Then people could see in what church was. What church is. Maybe encourage them to come in. A conversation I heard on the radio also this week was that many people are frightened to come into church because they don't know what goes on in here. They're afraid. But the disciples were not afraid to go out in mission. They weren't afraid to go out and take the word of God out. After Easter, yes. After the resurrection, they didn't know where they were going. It's wonderful if you've got a leader that is charismatic to do things. We've had various missions here in the church with people coming. Peter Phillips and Cliff College and people have come and carried out missions. Wonderful during those weeks that they were here. Even at times brought people that aren't church members into church. But what do we as the church do? We sit down. We forget Easter. Eggs and that and the children, it's all over and done with. And it goes quiet. We have a period between Easter and what I would call the birth of the church at Pentecost with the coming of the Spirit is a time I think that we could use to do something. To go out. The church, the disciples were then commissioned by Jesus on that mountain, that second reading. It was strange this morning when it was, so the readings going up this morning, that Roy Ellis used that same commissioning reading this morning, that we all need to do things. And he said there's four alls in there. Do you go out? Chance for you to go home and reread them, that what the four alls are. But isn't it time that we looked at what the disciples... The disciples were frightened after the resurrection. What was going to happen to them? But the moment the Spirit of God came down upon them at Pentecost, they were filled with a power and they went out. Where did they go to? Well, how many of you fancy a trip abroad? Yes. Holiday, yes. But not a mission trip. They eventually had to go away, had to go out on mission. All right, we read of Paul and Barnabas being sent forth. Paul, who had objected to the church. The world out there is objecting to the church. It wants us to be put down, to be underneath. And yet this week, on the news, our country said that 54% of the people in this country have a faith and a belief in God. So what's wrong with us? If half the half of our country believe in God, why aren't we telling them all about Jesus and his power and his resurrection and what he can do for each one of them? It's because we tuck ourselves away. We forget that we can make things wider. Forget the commercialization. Yes, businesses have taken over Christmas. Businesses have taken over Easter. They haven't found Pentecost yet. And it's the time that's coming up. In what? Where are we?
17.
Fortnight's time? We have a chance to have vision. Ruth has set up a day to look at mission in vision. Where this church is going to go. Where are we going to go? Let's knock it down. Take ourselves outside. Forget the four walls that encompass us. I would have loved tonight to have been out there on the grass because it would have made great sense. We could have preached the word out to the people. I never thought about it until just now. But we need to go out. The church would not have expanded if the disciples hadn't gone out after Pentecost into their country, into their world. And he wouldn't be here today, I don't think, if Paul hadn't been commissioned and gone out into the world. And he took the word of God. He took the word that Jesus was alive, that Jesus was crucified, not for just for the Jews, but he was crucified for the whole world. But we hide ourselves away. It becomes a period when it's all quiet, no celebrations, no big things. We know what it's like to have a party. You gather together all those that you know and love. We were here yesterday with Joan Turnbull's 80th birthday party with a number of people, all different people associated with Joan, though. There is a lot of people out there that are associated with the church, but they don't have outreach of the story of the gospel. You talk to some of the younger people and they don't even know who Jesus is, except for a swear word. Many of them. Whose fault is it? Mine. Yours. Because we celebrate our great festivals, then we hide ourselves away. We need to go out into a world that is aching, a world that needs answers. Who has the answers? Do you? Do you have the words? No, but there's one who will give you the words. Where do we need to go? Across to Africa? Across to Europe? No. We need to take it out in our own town and our own houses, our own place where we work, where we meet people. That's where we can mission. But we need to celebrate. People need something to come to. As I say, the churches fill up for Christmas, they fill up for Easter, because people come in for those great celebrations. But we need to extend them from one day to one service to become part of it. When Paul went to Cyprus, he didn't go into the synagogue, preach and go away. He stopped in all the places where he was as long as he could, talking, teaching, worshipping. And that, I feel, is what we're lacking. This is a very quiet period when we lay back from Easter to Pentecost. I'm just wondering what we've got arranged for that Pentecost service that evening. Can I encourage you all to come that night? Not many of us, but bring a friend. Bring someone you know. Come to celebrate what God did. He sent his son here originally to live and die for us. But when he returned to heaven, he sent his spirit back down to us. Not to be just in us, to be a flame, to be a guide for us, but from that commission which Jesus gave to the disciples. That commission stands for us today. I'm going to read it again. Then the 11 disciples went up to Galilee. They gathered on the mountain when Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. But when Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Authority over governments, over countries, over businesses. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Not just the Jews, but all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. What are his commandments? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to love the neighbor from what they do. But it's our duty through God from his commandments. And then his promise is, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Not I will be with you today or tomorrow, but always. When we're struggling, when things are hard, when we can't find the right words, when we can't use the strengths that we think we have, he's there with us. But we need to go out from here and take his word. A couple of weeks' time is the chance to come and decide how we're going to take it out, where we're going, who we're going with. But in the meantime, we can go alongside those that we love and those that we care for, that we can be God's hands when they're needed, to be God's words, and sometimes to be God's silence when we stand alongside somebody who is in just need of a comfort. But we as a Christian church, I feel, let ourselves down. We celebrate, as I said, Easter, we celebrate Christmas. But Pentecost, which is the birth of the Spirit coming to us, we fail to do. Justin Welby said that last year, 1,000 units in the world celebrated Pentecost. That's 1,000 places of church or homes that reached out. I haven't got all the details. I forgot to actually pull it off and print it out, what was going on. But in many places, Pentecost is being as wide as Christmas, as wide as Easter. When we reached out in at Christmas with the Buttercross to Bethlehem, we drew the people to tell them the story of Christ's birth. We need to draw them to the story that Christ is living, not dying. He's here today. He's in their lives. He's waiting for them to turn to him. They need at times a signpost. How often do you travel with a map, or these days with a sat nav, and it signposts you to where the destination is? People now need a signpost and a destination to where God is waiting to receive them, to assist them. It might be my hobby horse that I think the church should be doing something between Easter, which should be doing something all the year round, but we slip up that we only celebrate our great festivals and feasts with odd days. Should open up, should go forth. Because if the disciples and Paul and Barnabas and those early teachers of the faith hadn't gone out, the church would have fizzled. But they did, because they were fired with the Spirit that had come down to the disciples at Pentecost. Are we filled with that same Spirit? Are we prepared to stop sitting around, get up, the chances are there. People are waiting for help, for guidance. We look in the messenger. We see the things that are the food bank, the CAP projects, the addict projects. They're waiting for somebody to reach out to them. And who will? Christ. Who through? through us. Perhaps we need to make more celebration so we can draw people in and tell them of the love of God that he has for each and every one of them. We have discovered it. We have found it. Somebody brought us to that faith. Are we going to sit back and not bring others? Christ is calling you to go out to mission and be part of his world this day and always.